It's Wednesday, December 14th, 2011, and you're listening to episode 253 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 55 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is John.
This is Beth.
This is Carla.
Joining us today is Beth and Carla.
Didn't we just say our names?
Well, yes, but I'm about to explain who you are for people who don't follow the show regularly enough to recognize.
What am I, nothing, Dan?
No, you're not.
I said joining us. You'd be the us they're joining.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I'm insane, which...
Schizophrenic.
Well, I thought you just meant the collective us, the 9 million people who listen to Fear the Boot every 15 minutes.
Or the royal we.
I think Nielsen is undercutting us. There's no
I
way we
so.
Only have 9 million listeners.
Those bastards.
We have more than 9 million listeners in the state of Missouri alone.
Well, we got 7 billion votes for the Enny, so obviously that's only a sliver of our listening population.
Exactly.
Those motivated enough to go out and vote for us.
So Fear the Con 5 is coming up. The site for that is still up. Don't have a whole lot to say about that right now. We'll obviously have more to say over the coming months.
FearTheCon.com.
Yeah, FearTheCon.
Not FearTheCon5.com, as I enter about every third time I try to go to it.
Yeah, FearTheCon.com. And I know games are getting added all the time. We definitely want to see you here in St. Louis come May of next year. The other thing is our Star Wars Guild just launched along with the Early Access for Star Wars. It is on the, John, what's the name of the server?
Candorous Ordo, the bounty hunter from the original KOTOR who became Mandalore.
Okay, so
spoilers from 2003.
So Candorous Ordo, we are playing...
It's a sled.
Sith side.
It's a sled?
Yeah, spoilers.
He's talking about Rosebud.
Yeah,
it's like the oldest spoiler since...
Thank you.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
So if you are playing that game, interested in playing that game, or just want to hang with us, then be sure to stop by and join us there. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Star Wars.
But
if you want to come into Ventrilo and sing bard songs with me, I will not mute you.
All right, so John, let's get your bard thing started. Then we need to go back to Star Wars to because we have to gossip about Pat. We were talking yet again at dinner about
how much I hate bards.
About how much John hates bards. And about John's take on Wayne's bard and et cetera, et cetera. And I was explaining how in a particular scene, Chad asked us to improv a play. And even though I'm playing the Knoll Warrior, not the bard, I was the one that improvised pretty much the entire thing. But we're not going to go back to that. However,
the point of the discussion was I've decided I will make the best bard ever, rolling method one and playing it the next time we play D&D or Pathfinder.
Exactly.
And I want video of this.
Which will not be exceptionally soon because we've got Battletech to finish.
Yeah, we have an excellent Battletech going on.
Right.
Do you think we're halfway over with that campaign? Because
No.
I don't.
Uh-uh.
Okay, good.
No.
I don't want to be.
I don't think you're even a quarter of the way through it.
Good.
So... John said he's going to roll method one. So what we're going to do throughout this episode is every few minutes, I'm going to have him roll another stat here in front of the table and write it down. And whenever we get around to playing this D&D game, this character will be what John is playing. So, John, you are method one-ing a bard, which is unusual because in method one, you're supposed to roll, then pick a class. And I will allow you to play whatever.
Dude, this is like method 0.5. This is so hardcore. It's too hardcore for method one.
This is method prison shower.
Yes.
So... All right, so John's strength. Go
ahead. Let's see if I can wear armor.
3d6 on strength. What we got there? We got a...
It's an 11.
11.
Wow. All right. That's almost a plus one.
Very
not
nice.
Off to a bad start.
Not
all right.
For
method
start.
One, that's...
Not off to a bad start.
Da, da, da.
All right.
This is turning into a minstrel show.
Oh, stop.
So, Beth?
Yes?
Pat, this morning...
Oh,
Star
my
Wars?
God. Okay. So we have a small child. I don't know.
You have two small children.
Yes, we do. But one is still...
Technically, you have three children.
Well, yes.
Yes,
you have
I do.
One big child.
I do. So I get up with the baby.
That's into porn.
Yes.
Stop.
That's a shrine of anime porn statuettes around his gaming computer.
I'm telling you, if Toy Story is real, Sauron is the luckiest motherfucker on the face of the earth. Because he's the only dude in a room full of half-naked chick statues.
If he dies, if like he gets hit by a bus, and God forbid, that shit's being liquidated.
I'm sure it's been liquidated once or twice before when you're on business trips.
I'm telling you, what do you think the street value of all that crap is?
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would line up to take it, though.
I am telling you, it'll be the first thing in the garage sale. It's gone. It's beyond gone.
The sum retail value of that, I'm sure, is $5,000.
Actually, it could be. Some of those things have collector value and whatnot. So
I'm telling you. God forbid the worst happens. There'll be a sale at our house.
Well, he's got print number one of that Rana print.
Yep,
That'll be worth something someday.
That could be, yeah. He has one of 100
of that.
Sending
my kids to college on my husband's porn stash.
On your husband's beautiful Lorenzo naked mech warrior.
Yeah, that's great.
So, 6 a.m. this morning.
6 a.m. I get up to go get the baby, and I'm going down to get him his breakfast. And the way our house is set up, you come down the stairs, and I look in Pat's office, and he's sitting there at the computer. And I'm like, and I'm half asleep because I am not good in the morning. So, like, were you up all night? No, I had to check and see if I had an early whatever for Star Wars. I'm like, seriously? You can get up at 6 a.m. because usually your butt's in bed until 7:30. You can get up at 6 a.m. for Star Wars, but you can't get up for your children? Okay.
Priorities, Beth. Priorities.
Well, here's the thing, Beth. Connor's there every day.
Exactly.
And Star Wars Early Access, I mean, we're kind of waiting for that.
And the thing was,
it only comes once in a lifetime.
Pat got to pick the timing of the early access to the kids.
Exactly.
God. Well, guess what?
Connor spawns a new raid instance every 4 or 5 hours.
And
Star Wars is only once a week.
And Pat was there at launch. So
guess who gets to get up with him tomorrow? I am sleeping in. He is getting up. And I don't care. He can get up, check to see if he's on, and then go get our job.
I say maybe rougher day because it's looking like tomorrow's going to be the day that
well, he can wait.
Our group gets in.
He can
wait. It'll be interesting to see when the show dropped, if he actually did let you sleep in or not.
Oh, I can tell you right now, I talk a big game, but...
No, I know where this is going.
But I'll be up with him. He'll be in there playing because...
He won't even be playing. He'll be jamming F5 in his mailbox and then jamming play in the client launcher. And on the phone with Dan, and refreshing the Free
the
Boot forums.
Phone this morning while he's getting dressed.
He will have 4 different channels of input trying to get a hold of if he gets in the store.
I'm chasing 2 children around our home, trying to get ready for my work, trying to get them ready. And I hear him talking. I'm like, are you talking to me? No, I'm on the phone with Dan. I'm like, can you get off the phone with your boyfriend and help me?
I have to say I'm deeply, deeply hurt. Because number one, Dan never gets up early for me. Number two, he never even wants to talk on the phone. And he did both of those things this morning with your husband.
I know.
I think we need an intervention.
None of those are the reason why she's deeply hurting.
Well, I'm sure you do that to Pat, too.
Yeah. He's good and loose. I mean, there's...
Wow.
I'm just saying that if I don't get to sleep in, there'll be the garage sale will happen earlier than expected.
Pat will be deeply hurting.
I think for the first month of release, you're going to be able to get to bed and go straight to sleep whenever you want. So I wouldn't be worried.
You don't have to lie about headaches or anything.
No.
Like that.
Are you kidding?
All you have to do is keep up with the patch notes, and at dinner, just be like, holy crap, Pat, did you say they just released this and this today? And he's going to get all wound up and go play that until 2 a.m.
You know what? You won't get pregnant again for the cruise.
I know.
It's
BioWare is the reason.
Exactly.
She won't be pregnant because we have Star Wars followed in early next year by Mass Effect 3. Yeah. So
there you go.
BioWare,
thank you, video game.
Keep your womb empty.
BioWare, yours and mine. Electrifying sensation for him. Neglected boredom for her.
Oh my god. That's just wrong on many levels.
But it's also right on so many levels.
It's the perfect birth control.
The main topic I want to talk about today is spouses and gaming. Before we get to that, we just have to have some more Pat stories. Well, I got 2 more here we got to get through. Do you want to tell us the car story or the fish story?
I don't know. Which one would you rather have? You know the car story.
I don't know the car story, and I do know the fish story.
Okay.
It's not a car story.
He loves that car. He loves that car, I think, more than me or the children.
The Batman car, the one he's got now.
Yeah, the Batman car. He loves that car.
It's a good car.
When I was pregnant both times, I was convinced that if I went into labor and my water broke.
I can't believe, given the age of that car, it looks like it just came out of a showroom.
Oh, it does.
It looks like he bought it yesterday.
Do you know how he doesn't detail it this way anymore, but he used to. I mean, he would go like every Sunday and he would get like had a special brush to like clean the tires, and he wasn't happy with
the tires?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And he wasn't. And he would go look at other wheels because he didn't like his wheels because there was too many spokes to clean.
And you want to get into the seat of this fine car with your fetus juice and your pap smear and all this crap running out onto the
leather. He would make me
Inconsiderate are you?
I know.
Peter,
I
know. I'm not wearing any underwear. Oh, it's okay. We can throw that chair out.
I love Family Guy.
And he wasn't satisfied with, like, he had, like, a special bucket to clean the tires. He had to, like, go.
A special bucket?
Yes!
For the tires.
You don't understand, Ferris. He doesn't drive it. He just rubs it with a diaper.
Yes, this is what I think of every time. So he was.
Connor's going to drive that thing off of a pier
cliff
one day.
I know. So he wasn't satisfied with the way it was, so he had to go get the power saw and cut the top of the bucket off. I'm not making this up. Am I smart enough to make this up? And so he had the special brush and the whole thing. Well, he doesn't do that anymore. But he still...
Yeah, now he plays KOTOR.
So the car's getting older. It's getting time for him to get a new car. I mean, the car's as old as our marriage. So I'm like, all right. I am stuck.
Sounds like it's in better shape.
And it might be. No, I don't mean that. I love my husband. He's wonderful. I would take a bullet for him.
The car hasn't been messed up by two kids.
Oh, thank you.
The truck's
now, this is a two-door car, right?
Yes,
so you can't, take the kids
no.
in it.
So I'm stuck with drop-off.
Now, why does he have a two-door car now?
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm stuck with drop-off and pickup. So I'm like, all right, we're getting a new car. Let's get a four-door so I'm not stuck with this. I don't like four-door cars. Well, why not? Well, I don't like the cup holders, and I don't like... There's a thing at the door, and it's uncomfortable. So let me get this straight. You don't want to drive a four-door luxury car because it's uncomfortable. Yeah, I just don't like four-door cars. Why don't we carry 2 9-pound children to term, and then have them ripped out of your body, and then we'll discuss uncomfortable. Get the four-door car.
Is the four-door car is it too roomy? Is that what he doesn't like?
No, there's a bar with the door. It bothers his arm.
I wish you guys could see her
face.
Well,
that could irritate his skin. You're such a cold harpy.
He is such a girl. He is such a big freaking girl.
Oh, Pat's we love you, Pat.
John Dex.
I'm on Pat's side. Dexterity. Okay. I have a 0 mod in strength, so using a club or something is colorable. Let's see if I'm going to take weapon finesse and use a rapier. Nope. 10.
10. All right. Straight even, though.
All right. I am the most interesting man in the world so far. My mods are 0 and 0.
Yes. So what far, you are, I guess, at least as far as player characters go, average man.
No, as PCs go, I am Gimp Man. PCs are 46 in a sign. Their numerical average is not 9 or 10.
Well, it depends on the method. But I mean, as far as the 3d6 roll goes, yeah, right.
But you're supposed to only apply 3d6 to schmoobs.
Yeah. That's a new one. That did not used to be the case.
Yes, it didn't. Which is why I'm a hardcore 2e roller, even though I just made it up. Even though I actually really like Pathfinder and do everything the Pathfinder book tells me to, including buy more Pathfinder.
Well, isn't that convenient?
Yes, it is.
Do you guys want to do Spouses in Gaming or the Fish Story?
Fish Story.
All right.
All right, we're going to do the Fish Story.
Okay. You have to understand, I've known Pat. How old am I? I've known him for 23 years. So
you grew up in the same town. Put this in perspective.
Yes, we grew up in the same town. We grew up a block from each other. Once he moved into the city, he did live on a farm.
The city of Springfield.
Yeah, hey. the thriving metropolis of Springfield.
He moved into the city, the burbs.
Okay, all y'all laugh. Anyway. So,
all y'all laugh.
Hey, that is the plural of y'all. So,
God, that cat's going down on that ice cream like it's week.
He does not mess around with...
Stop it.
He does not mess around with dairy, I tell you.
No, he doesn't care that it's red and splotchy.
To explain this to the listeners, because Carl is in here, the animals have to be with either...
They pretty much have to be with me.
Well, one of us, but since she's back here, therefore all the animals are back here as well. So
it's fitting for a Christmas time episode, because you might hear jingling, which is actually their collars, but just pretend they're Christmas bells.
There you go. Perfect.
Pretend they're pulling a sleigh full of gifts for creepy old man. All right, so the fish story. Go on.
Okay, so his biology teacher or some science teacher said... We have an aquarium. Anybody who brings in fish for the aquarium gets extra credit. So Pat had brought in from the farm, they had like a pond with catfish. So he brought in something for the aquarium. I don't really remember. This was prior to the extra credit announcement. So he goes to the teacher and says, well, hey, do I get extra credit for the thing I brought in? And he says, no, you don't. You don't get anything. So that made my husband angry. Let me tell you that all of the fish that were in that aquarium died an untimely death. I think he systematically killed them. I think he would pull them out and systematically kill them. And then at one point, he just got tired of it and he poisoned them.
Well, you can just unplug that air buzzer thing and that deoxygenates the water in pretty short order.
I think
order.
He went and found all the cleaning products and put them in the aquarium.
Oh, well, he just wanted to clean
like
them.
It was like a blue.
Wait. What's his middle name?
What's his middle name?
Mm-hmm.
Neil.
Patrick Neil. Good gracious.
Yeah, it's not 2,000 fishes.
Well, and to be fair, the idiots that were in our class went to the Vindabate minnow things, and they would bring the Vindabate minnows in, and they got extra credit for that, and that made him angry.
I would be angry, too, if I didn't get extra credit. I don't know if
I
would.
So the Vindabate minnows had to die.
He's got a vengeance on the Vindabate minnows.
Right. Don't cross him. You might end up with the cleaning products.
So noted.
Spouses and gaming, now that we have that all heavily set up. All right, so obviously...
I liked your story, Beth. Well, thanks for sharing.
Okay. CSB. Cool story, Beth.
Cool story, Jeopardy scene.
Since we've got two spouses here of our gaming group, Carla Games and my on and off Saturday group, which has been more off than on lately, but whatever, it's the holidays. There's been a lot of stuff going on. And then
that hasn't stopped BattleTech.
Well,
BattleTech is the holidays.
We have priorities.
Exactly.
It's a somewhat, well, very different group, but it's, you know, they're both groups of great people. It's just it's the cultures of the two groups are fairly different.
One group is a group of gamers. The other group is not.
Honestly,
one group is morose for the week following any time we don't play BattleTech, and one group doesn't really care that much about playing Star Trek.
Well, the other group may want to play Star Trek, but they just... It's not a priority when they're making plans on weekends or whatever. And so, like I said,
I've told my boss I'm not coming in to go play BattleTech.
Much love for both groups, but it's just different cultures. So Beth, obviously being Pat's wife, she games in our Sunday, which is currently a BattleTech game, was previously a D&D game, which she also played in. And the only reason he took really a hiatus from us for a while there was because of the birth of...
of my children.
Right, yeah, the birth... And so, but now that
the birth Christ of a child. Nation,
just the birth uncomfortable.
You were looking
silence.
For Connor.
Yeah, I was trying to remember which came first. So, yeah.
Actually, I quit playing after Duncan was born just simply because
you've run out of Highlanders.
We did not do that on purpose. It was an accident.
Uh-huh. The child or the name?
I just got it. No, Duncan is actually, no kidding, named after Duncan Idaho, isn't he?
Yes, he is, because we're sad.
No, that's awesome.
I know. Duncan Idaho's the greatest.
I can't wait till you drop the Gamja bar into his neck and, like, tell him not to blink.
That would be
then
not...
he'll be a real human.
So there's...
No one got that.
All right, there's several...
Everyone that listens to this got that.
There's several things that I want to explore about the presence of spouses in a game. And I want to start with the comparative advantages and disadvantages. And while I think to some degree this is going to be just expounding on observations, the two things that I hope to pass off in terms of advice is, one, if you are contemplating a change to a group or a new group that involves spouses, these are things you may want to look for to play up or to be prepared for to control or to keep from happening in the first place. So let's start with some advantages of gaming with a spouse. And I was
able... No competition for the time.
That was the first big one I came up with, though, John. I phrased it a little differently, but I think yours and mine are related ideas. I put it as shared interests. One of the important...
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, I mean, one of the important...
I'm thinking of defending my temporal fiefdom of game time. You're thinking of cultivating a deep relationship. Perhaps this is why you're married and I'm a bachelor.
But here's the thing. These two are complementary.
Yes, they are.
Because if she's involved in the game, there's less competition for the time, but there's also...
And
the
you get credit for me time, so then you can go home and play KOTOR.
Exactly. Oh. Yes. Say, honey, we just had a date.
Yes.
We just played BattleTech
Our
together.
Date was on
Luthien. BattleTech does not count as a date.
We explored a lot of deep emotional themes.
No, we didn't. We blew things up. I like to think that...
You got pounded so hard your engine shell took a hit.
Stop it.
Wow. I didn't know what I was missing at these games.
Yeah.
You're going to find out. Oh, we're just getting started.
Oh, my.
The heat runoff is just the really awful part.
Oh, stop it.
And then you hit a gyro.
She can't walk straight anymore.
Yeah, she can't walk straight anyway. She has to take a piloting check.
You are wrong.
I would hit that so bad she'd have to take a piloting check at 8+.
Oh my god.
But the point here is that
and Dan desperately trying to write us back on the curse.
It's a positive thing for the relationship in general to have something more in common, to have shared time together. I'm going to have a caveat on that, which I'll save for the disadvantages.
Some women are like an AC-20. Some women are like an LB-10X. You just got to know what she likes. Okay, what you were saying, Dan.
Stop it. Obviously, Pat is the one that got me into gaming because he was spending all this time with his friends. And I'm like, what is it that you're doing? So finally, he was like, okay, well, why don't you come over and see? So I like to say that I used to be cool until I met him. But then I got into it and I like it. So it worked out well. But it is a shared interest. It's something that we have in common.
Second observation I have is that it can help with juggling other obligations. For example, in your guy's case, you've got two kids. We game at your house. You know, one kid's fairly self-sufficient. The other one you tend to get a babysitter for. But even when you can't, if a kid goes nuts, it's not like Pat can't be there because somebody has to watch the kids, or you can't be there because somebody has to watch the kids. One of you may just have to step out for a little while.
Yeah.
This is also something that goes on in my other group, though I don't think it's quite as well-oiled, but nonetheless, it does occur in that group, which is, if Christine and Adam both come over and they bring my two nephews, Eli and Oliver, they can take turns. They can alternate taking care of that. So if there's some kind of an outside obligation responsibility, it could be kids. It could be household maintenance. It could be, I don't know, dealing with elderly parents or crazy family members, or hell, maybe these are all the same people. But the point is that it allows you to juggle these things without having to give up gaming completely.
Well, that's why you guys game at our house, because that actually started when I was recovering from surgery, because I didn't want Pat to have to give up his game. But if I was needed him upstairs, then it was much easier to call for him and say, hey, can you come upstairs,
right,
as opposed to, yeah, calling somebody else's house, hey, can you drive back over?
Oh, yeah. And it would, and at this point, it would be psychotic for us to play at anywhere but where at least some of the kids were, because the logistics of that.
Oh, I couldn't play. I mean,
exactly.
My kids would destroy someone else's home, and yeah. I don't want to be responsible for that.
And these are both things that I think any group ought to look at. That, look, whether you are a married couple, or you're about to bring in a married couple, or someone's getting married, or whatever the case is, these are the upsides you can look at from gaming. You know, gaming does not have to be time apart. It can be something that you guys pursue and develop together. And look, part of building a successful relationship is building positive experiences and shared positive experiences that form the basis of communication and socialization, and gaming is a way of doing that. Now, as I keep saying, there's a caveat I'm going to throw in here, but I'm holding that for the disadvantages.
And I know what the caveat is.
I don't.
And with the other issue of handling outside responsibilities, you know, if you have someone in the group who has kids, then the people who don't have kids, or maybe aren't even married at all, you know what? For their sake, be a little bit flexible. Say, you know, maybe this would work better if we gamed at your place where the kids would have their entertainment. They're not bored in somebody else's living room or with a babysitter or wherever off causing a ruckus. They're with their toys and their place and their familiar environment. Everything they need is right there.
BS. I have a Super Nintendo. That's everything a kid needs.
You know, I'm just waiting for my nephews to get a little older, because I have to think, this is going to be the cool uncle's house, given all the electronics
have. It is.
They're just not quite old enough to fully appreciate.
There's always the uncles and aunts who are like, no, you can't play video games. You have to pretend to socialize with your elder generation who you cannot relate to because you're five. And then there's the uncles and aunts that are like, yeah, play the hell out of this Wolfenstein 3D. And you're definitely going to be in that latter group.
I hope so. I can't wait for my niece to come over. It'd be just fun.
And then they can all come over to our house, because Pat has more toys than anybody.
Yeah, then they can go to the Pat Porno Dungeon.
No, they can't.
And start knocking around the Lara Croft and Ice Queen
figures
together.
I do not need to be responsible for that. There was a lock on that door, and it's there for a reason.
I've never witnessed this room. I've never seen it.
And that's okay.
It is a sight to behold.
You don't need to see it.
It's like Niagara Falls.
It's okay.
You have to see it once in your life just to fully understand it.
No. Just so you know, in our old house, he didn't have a separate office. That was all in my living room.
If you mean my living room, since your house was like our house?
No, it was in the basement corner.
Okay.
But that we never came in through our front door. We always came in through the garage. So that was like the first thing anybody saw right there.
It's like right the leg lamp standing. Times a million.
Yeah, kind of. So there was always, before parents came over, there was always like, you have to put all this away right now. My mother is not going to see this. You have to put it away
there
right
were
now.
Sheets hung over all the furniture. Yes. For no particular reason.
Well, in Springfield, there's an easy explanation for the sheets everywhere.
We're drying the wash.
Hey, now.
We're between rallies. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are bad.
Hey, it's the Robin Laws Award.
This is the most un-PC show ever.
No, it is
no,
not.
It's not. No, we can make fun of the Klan. They don't get the protections of polite society. I want to roll my constitution.
Since I'm your fake girlfriend, yes. Do you want me to blow on the dice?
Yes, blow on the dice, fake girlfriend.
Speaking of constitution.
If this is like a 3, I'm still going to play the character, just so everyone knows.
I'm going to laugh if it is.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit, it's a
15?
15!
Wow.
Dude!
That was all me right there.
Yeah, Beth, nice blowing.
All right, let's talk about disadvantages. And then
she told me to give her 15 and make it hurt, so I gave it to her 3 times and punched her. I don't know if we can leave that one in.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
It wasn't your other joke. Let's talk about disadvantages, and there's also some side topics I want to come back to. I think probably your biggest pitfall, and something you have to ask some really hard questions about, is a lot of times one spouse is going to want to involve the other because of the fact that it makes their life easier. They want their significant other to like what they're doing. They want more time with them. They want less competition for that time. And that works great unless the person really doesn't want to be there. And this is something that Chad's harped on many times, and I have seen myself, though not in the same games as Chad or same gaming groups as Chad, but I've seen it as well, where a significant other was drug along who clearly was not nearly as invested as the other individual. And the end result of this is it's going to drag down the game because this person is checked out. They're super easily distracted. They're going to be happy to talk about anything other than the sun but the game. They're going to half-ass even when they are playing. They're going to come up with every reason to not be there because it's not a priority to them. They probably don't want to be there in the first place.
No.
And so the caveat to my prior advantage is the shared time is great, but it has to be genuine. Beth, you want to play. Carla, I realize you're not quite as interested in all the titles, but within certain titles, you want to play these games. But I have seen people, more often female than male, but I've seen it in males as well, where they did not want to be there.
Well, you hit tangentially on a point vis-a-vis Carla, you and your interest with gaming. You're not that in love with gaming. You are that in love with Star Trek. So when the game is Star Trek, you've got some buy-in, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Star Trek nerd, but it's also my interest in the gaming will start to wane the longer the game goes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be really into it, really into RP, really into the story, and just ready to take on whatever the GM's going to throw. After 5, 3, even 2 hours, that starts to get less and less and less. So I will start to do everything you just described as far as, I'll go to the switch out the laundry. Oh, no, let me take care of walking the dog because it's no longer a priority for me.
Different people definitely have different tolerance levels. So,
yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is absolutely correct, is that it needs to be shared. It needs to be genuine. And both people need to participate. But there may need to just be some discussions there ahead of time. It's like, well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this, even though it's what I like to do, what would be a good length of time for you? Or just to kind of set those time frames up, because people may be okay with it. They just don't want to do it for an entire day.
Yeah. Well, and what I've seen, I have seen an example of this, that was the GM's wife. So he began bribing her. All kinds of certain things began falling into her lap. More and more fantastic prizes began happening.
That's really obnoxious. Like, and I've done
tell
it
me a little all bit about it.
Like material items he was getting her?
In exchange for food.
No, not like he wasn't like, here's a diamond necklace, but but like,
here's a pearl necklace.
Stop. But like in game, it's like, oh, look, you found this roll wonderful dexterity thing. I mean, just all
I
these different
things. Oh, in the game, she was getting prizes. Okay.
I see. Breath weapons.
So he was doing whatever he
They're
could.
Like a whole other
30-foot line.
We'll carry the podcast on. You just forget the little boys
right
over here.
Okay.
Black dragon breath weapon, acid spit line.
Stop it. it.
That's why I call it Nefarian.
That's why I cry out, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Wow, that's a TMI that's why moment I say, right there.
Too soon, Executus.
Oh, you can't.
Okay, so you girls were actually talking about.
So I'm sorry. What were you guys talking about? Dishes or something?
Dishes. Have we met? No, just that he kept bribing her with more in-game stuff, and it just got incredibly obnoxious.
No. It goes the other way around. The player bribes the game master.
Oh, see, is that how it works?
You just did it!
I know.
Why do you have Beethoven? You have Beethoven because you gave Dan a stuff line.
I did. I gave you a suck-up gift.
There is no Beethoven in the games I run, but there's definitely, you just could be this
real stuff line
rack
or in-game?
Of cookies
a real stuff line.
That says world's best DM on it. You get in the ring of protection.
Oh, well, there's like a ton million other things in the papazan, so I never... But
to explain what Beethoven is, in Battletech...
He's a composer.
That is actually somewhat relevant to the story. Years ago, we used to game Battletech in my parents' house.
He's also St. Bernard.
And
Charles Grodin owns him.
My dad he's now retired, but he was a music teacher, and I guess still is, a music composer. And has some pretty impressive accomplishments under his belt, which are another story for another time. But he had in the living room a wooden display case that had busts of like 20 or 30 different major composers. And everyone had their favorite one. And there were invariably fights over, I think it was Mozart. And these things would start putting on little puppet shows around the table. And when they wanted something, they'd start banging them in unison, like people banging beer glasses wanting to be served, or I don't know what, but just all kinds of table chaos. I mean, spastic teenage years and all kinds of table chaos.
Spastic. It was the 90s. They were a bunch of composers. It was
it was all a blur. So when we started up this next Battletech game, which is the first real Battletech campaign I have played since those days, I decided to bring the tradition back, so I had those guys vote on one composer and said, I'll take this composer, and he is basically a pure flex item that I will control. But to whomever I give Beethoven, for whatever reason motivates me to give this to the person...
And I got it because I sucked up.
They can use Beethoven as basically a massive change anything in the game. Ask me to divert a plot point, reroll dice, whatever.
Wait, we can do all that?
Yeah, I totally.
I thought Beethoven was just like a big edge.
He's a big edge, but Chad asked me, would you let me use Beethoven to slightly change the direction of the plot? And I said, it's provided it's not like a radical 180.
Dude, I've had Beethoven twice and I didn't know about this.
So what's the point
you gotta
of
promulgate your rules.
All of those fancy poker chips if you're just going to throw out
different
bus-
games? Because in other games, we use chips, like, for example, Savage Worlds.
Chips.
Savage Worlds is a big one that uses chips like that.
I got you some nice poker chips. You better use them.
John wants
Beethoven
to use them to play poker.
Crap.
Yeah, I actually want to play Texas Hold'em with them.
As David
they look beautiful.
Breaks the box.
I think I broke the box, but not the chips. So anyway, but Beth, I think romance is one of the things that can become distracting, especially if you have a couple that's got one or two things going on, which is either they are still in that flirty, doughy-eyed honeymoon stage, where they can't freaking focus on the game. They're in the courting phase where one is endlessly bribing the other. And I've seen this. I gamed with a guy who was trying to convince a girl to go out with him, talked her into playing D&D, and the game just revolved around her character to a very obnoxious extent.
I've seen that too.
I want to know how you convince a girl to join your regular D&D campaign, but you can't get her to go out and have a drink with you.
I have no idea.
Bleep bloop, John Bot is not printing out anything because it does not compute.
Doesn't work for me either. The other possibility is if they are on the wrong side of that and there's drama between the couple.
That's never fun no matter what.
I have had games where the games got interrupted because of pretty hefty marital or boyfriend-girlfriend whatever disputes that spilled over into the game. Because these are people that just have too much pent-up stuff. They need to seek help. I don't know. Maybe they're just having a bad day.
They need to seek help.
Whatever the case is, well, sometimes I'm dead serious on that. But
I know.
In many cases, I think they're just having a bad day, and it spills over at the table.
Yeah.
That things get real uncomfortable. These people, being significant others, are a bit too comfortable with each other for that context, and this gets disruptive.
And if you're in a situation in life or personally yourself where you and or your friends are kind of in a fluid and transient situation vis-a-vis their dating relationships, your gaming group is going to die. It's happened to me. It happened to me twice in college. One time I was the breakup. One time it was two of my players. But you have a DM and four or five PCs, and two of them come in going out, and 2 months in they break up.
No,
that's kind of it.
We had a group survive a divorce.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Story.
Well,
did both players stay?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. This was actually the same people. The GM that was bribing his wife with stuff, they ended up divorcing. And then,
what do you know? A relationship based on appeasement didn't last.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so she went
off. It worked for Chamberlain and Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she went off into the sunset, and then new players came in, and he actually, again, same person, bribed another girl and ended up marrying her. So met her through the gaming group. So
I think he needs to lose the GM chair because look,
this would be revolt worthy.
This was going to be my advice on the subject is on the one hand, you know, look, real life comes first.
No, it doesn't. BattleTech is real life.
That's what I mean.
Okay. So long as we're clear.
Right. BattleTech is real life. But when you clock out of BattleTech and are pretending to be married, as life changes, people within the group have to be mature enough to handle that and mature enough to work around that. But in return, sometimes you have to make some hard calls. And I would love to tell you there's a simple three steps. We're getting there, John. I would love to tell you there's a simple three steps to follow. Here's how you avoid these problems. Well, look, it's not that easy. Life's not that simple. When some guy or girl is your best friend, an integral part of your gaming group, and suddenly a dysfunctional relationship or relationship-related issue spills over into the group, there's probably not going to be an easy way to handle that, which is why I think really the best thing that I can recommend is deal with it before it's a problem as best as you can. When somebody's being brought into the group, make sure you understand who they are, what they're about, how they get along with the group. Sit down with the GM and say, look, you know, it's cool that you want to bring your boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, wife, whatever into this group, but this can't change things too much about the game. Obviously, it's changing your life radically, but this can't tear this game up, because if it's going to, that's fine. It's your life. If you want to pursue that and that's your higher priority over gaming, which is totally understandable, then maybe we need to work something else out. Maybe this just isn't a good hobby for you anymore because of the fact that it's a social group oriented hobby. Yes. One person coming in and peeing in the pool ruins the pool for every swimmer.
I mean, I'm coming to this for escape. I'm coming to this for fun. I don't want somebody else's relationship problems dumped in my lap under the guise of RP. I don't need that. I don't have that kind
Which
of
is why you proposition your commander as soon as he's promoted in the middle of a battle, right?
Hey, man, these things happen, okay?
All right, well, we're going to talk emotionally stressful.
We're going to talk a little more about romance, but first, John, intelligence.
Intelligence.
All right, let's see what we get here for intelligence.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Bardic knowledge, but about so not in a bad
way. Whoa, 13. Okay.
You know, you're going to screw
up. Dude, for method one, this character is freaking Superman.
Oh, no, I'm not. The only thing that I say sucks. Is in D&D, I hate having an odd number.
Yeah.
Because you're not quite to that next bracket.
Yeah. Well, those are things to work on when I get to level 4 and level 7. I can juke those up.
Yeah.
It's a bard. I need every single stat to be good to be a viable character, so I might as well knock those odds up.
So far, you're not on a penalty on anything.
Nope.
The next one up, I guess, wisdom. If you got to have a penalty as a bard, is probably where it's going
to
fall.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm going to tie to my wisdom is perception and my will save.
Yeah.
And I could be a bard that can't see very well. Oh, no.
And by the way, you were not my commander when I propositioned you, so let's just get that straight right now.
It was seconds later?
No!
So
what kind of girl do you think
I am? You gave me the Kaylee ultimatum on the battlefield!
But this was prior to the battlefield promotion. What kind of girl do you think I am?
Yeah, the battlefield promotion was self-induced on account of Wayne is dead.
Yeah, well, it was prior to that.
Okay. So let's talk through the current confusing web of romances around the table.
Well, the love quadrangle that was started by Pat hitting on Dan as an NPC.
Because Pat has to have his obligatory flirting.
So
in-game, out-of-game,
every female NPC that pops up, Pat's immediately asking me the scope-out question. I mean, it might as well be ASL. I mean, it's just a straight scope-out question.
Because here's the thing. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I am a flirt. I am. When I'm dying, I will make eyes at the doctor over the hospital bed, and if he's cute, I'll make someone do my hair. But Pat can never complain about this because he is 10 times worse than I am. 10 times worse than I am.
Which is why, as a reprisal action, you went down on Captain Walter Ubrich.
Well, hey, we have to explain all of this to listeners. We're not familiar with these names.
Reinhardt.
And Carla. I don't know anything about what you guys are talking about.
In the Battletech game, as I said, Pat asked me the stats on every, and I don't mean attributes, he asked me the stats on every female NPC it passes through. So at one point, their mercenary group absorbs a pirate group, which was, as far as pirates go, relatively on the up and up and clean. These were not perfectly legal individuals, otherwise they wouldn't be pirates, but these were not bloodthirsty savages. You know, they had kind of a thieves code and things like that. So
they did it with style.
They absorbed this group into theirs. And prior to this,
an HR decision that is continually questioned.
Prior to this, the leader of that group, a woman by the name, or at least who tells you or told you her name was Mallory Fox, actually have a real name somewhere else, was killed by your
artillery. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, she's dead now.
She took a long time to the nose.
That has a tendency to make you dead.
But her younger sister, Caprice Fox, is still in the group.
And were you ready to go with Caprice, or did you just run with that when you rolled to see she had red hair?
I did not know where it was headed. I knew that she was in that group. Okay. There were actually only four people in that group I designed, which was the head of their mech force, Grazier, her
dead
younger sister, and then the
demoted,
and then the two fighter pilots
alive.
And so at one point, Pat starts asking me all the stats on Caprice. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I pulled up a random character appearance table, I think was written for some splat thing on D&D.
The fatal redhead.
Yeah, and he rolled like his ideal woman. And so I'm like, okay, this is
what I have to tell you.
And then Beth goes into freak mode.
I have to tell you, I'm a little embarrassed about it because I don't know what was going on. I'm under a lot of stress. I was maybe having a spectacularly bad day. The planets were aligning. It was like a lightning bolt hit me. I was so pissed.
And so it was the first time we had seen genuine character buy-in from you
in
this game. So naturally, she's come back every single episode since.
Because that was the thing.
And I'm ashamed because usually I'm much better at a takedown. I usually scour the bones from your flesh. All I did was yell and kind of sputter. It was weak.
Well, see, that was the thing was, at first, this character was like, well, I wanted to develop her. I wanted her to be more interesting. There's another character, your intel operative, that I think I need to do a lot more work on. She's due cardboard. But I wanted to make this character interesting, so I decided...
She never really stays around. We tend to send her to spy on
people.
Yeah,
but even when she is around, she's just not all that. Nothing about her stands out. I need to work on that. But anyway, point being, so with this character who does stand out more, I decided, you know, I want to make her kind of the mischievous flirt, but she was getting more of a tease than anything else. She's just having fun at everyone else's expense.
Well, and that's another thing that made me mad.
And so she starts flirting with Pat's character.
And this is another thing that made me mad. Because then you're like...
Seduction is mind control.
No, that was earlier.
That was the other thing that made you mad.
No, this is what made me mad. Because you're all like, oh, well, I don't have two brain cells to rub together, so you two big strong men go fight over me, and I'll just pick the... What the heck kind of macho BS crap is that?
A long con by which I got my brother laid.
Exactly. It was a con. You think that girl's half that stupid?
Well, it's offensive that she even played that.
She was playing the situation to watch them fumble over it. Because, yeah, Pat basically says he wants to do a date with her, whatever. And so she's like, well, your brother's kind of cute, too. Just stirring the pot. So why don't the two of you go downstairs, have a mech duel in the simulators, and I'll go out with
the
winner.
So I engage him in a terrainous Dragon Ball Z plane against a mech that's 20 pounds or 20 tons heavier than me for head to head. Did I lose? Yeah, I lost.
She had no interest at this point. She was just basically going dance puppets dance. Until
I lost my temper.
Beth blows a gasket.
Until the first reaction of the game comes from Beth 3 months into it, and she's
incensed. It was like being struck by lightning. I haven't been that mad in a really long time.
Why? Because Beth, you were jealous of an imaginary woman played by me.
Well, you are prettier than me, Dan.
Thank you.
You have better hair. I'm really jealous. No, I really don't. I really can't explain it. I really don't know why. Because this is not the first time I have watched the Pat flirting with the NPC dance.
Right.
Really. And It was pretty mild in comparison, because we played in another game where I privately called it Playboy World, because every NPC was a Playboy playmate, and I am dead serious. I mean, it got to the point where they'd like...
I thought Pat didn't GM.
No.
He wasn't GMing this one.
So any female NPC would come up and they'd be like, oh, it looks like Trixie McBooberton. And
I'm like, Trixie McBooberton.
Well, I got my bard's name.
No, I am vetoing Trixie McBooberton.
Okay.
I'm like,
this is friggin' D&D, not Brenda Starr.
It'll be a disguise alternative.
Your alias. Yes. So I'm sitting here, stupid me is sitting here going, what does that mean? And they're like, oh, well, it's Playboy, Playmate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they all look. I mean, it got to the point where I was like, an NPC would walk in and be like, wait, let me guess. She's blonde, thin, with big boobs. Am I right? I'm psychic. But, you know, see, if she was bad, then she'd have black hair. See what I did there? So this, in comparison, was extremely mild. Like I said, the planets just aligned. It just struck me wrong. It just really hit me wrong. And I have to say, I'm kind of embarrassed about the fact that I lost my temper like that.
But after that happened, because what's funny is your character wasn't even there. And yet, every time the three of them got together, you were there to make comments and to get on this chick's case.
I can't help it.
And you know what? I never once called you on it because it was beautiful. It was beauty in motion.
It was the hook. We found Beth's player hook.
All right.
3 months into the campaign. We
found her foil, which then only gets complicated. Now, I don't know if this was wise. John, would you roll wisdom so we can see?
Oh, let's see if this is wise.
Let's see if this
probably wasn't.
10.
10?
Oh. Wow. This is a beast of a... Here comes the charisma. Here comes my 4 charisma for my bard.
All right, we'll get to charisma in about 5 minutes.
All right, we'll close that.
So then along comes the foil, which is since Pat is now...
Engaged?
I don't know if it's quite a relationship or where the relationship's at.
Oh, who knows?
But has at least some kind of thing going on with the...
Banging in the galley while she awaits the death penalty.
The moment he dirtied himself with her, I was done.
So after he was damaged goods, what happens next?
Well, you started flirting with me. What was I supposed to do?
You had no other choice.
Well, seduction is mind control.
Pat
made you mad, so you had to plow his RPG brother.
Exactly.
Why not?
So my character had been hitting on Beth's character,
which is Pat's twin's brother in the game.
Yes, we are twins in the game, and we had both been going after Nika because best character. Again, this was like the duel. This was not actually anyone cares about anything. This was Sebastian started hitting on her, so now I have to win.
Oh, thank you. That's very complimentary.
Well, you only started hitting Walter after Sebastian started hitting Circe or whatever her name is.
You're playing like Gossip Girl Battletech.
We are playing Gossip Girl.
That's
the thing. The bizarre thing is this completely believable verisimilitude, like...
I don't care what people
three-way
say. Three-way
circle
drama
of jealousy banging.
We have
always criticized ourselves for not having realistic relationships in our games.
We've got it this time.
I gotta say, this is the first game in a long time I have played that had any degree of romance.
Yeah.
And it is a perfectly plausible soap opera.
And now,
soap opera.
Walter and Nika are having this battlefield stress-induced... We just saw our friend die. We just saw the infantry APC get blown up and they all died. Bang now because we die tomorrow. And
why not? We're all free agents.
We're all free agents.
Do you see any rings?
Which actually, John, you have made a pledge now.
What?
He's like, what do you mean?
To play my bard?
No.
Oh, right. My love letter pledge.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we're having dinner and making fun of Chris for writing Battletech love letters to his wife, and I told Beth I would write her Battletech love letters and post them on the front page of FearTheBoot.com.
So expect these. I'm going to be nagging John. So expect
I don't know how many of them there will be or how many will be in free verse or meter.
This is close to an actual play or a play synopsis you're going to get from Fear of the Boot, at least for a while.
This is a Fear of the Boot actual play.
So you will get John's love letters.
You will get Walter Reinhardt's deepest emotional feelings
towards
Nika.
Wow.
And we will be posting these on the front page blog.
I'm embarrassed.
Make sure you
include
lots of hearts and maybe some sappy music.
Dot your eyes with hearts.
See, here's the thing.
I need a mixtape.
Here's the thing. Walter speaks very good English, but it's not his first language.
Oh.
So there could be opportunities
bilingual.
Here. Yep.
There you go.
If I'm going to look up, like,
I fully expect a mixed French accent.
No, German. Ooh. First language is German. He's a Steiner. So I'm gonna break some words in the right places, I think. We'll see. We'll see what the tone demands.
Oh, my God.
So,
I'm embarrassed for you, and I'm sorry.
Here is the other issue
I'm gonna do this.
That I want to bring up regarding spouses in game. We talked a little bit earlier about one half of this, which is genuine romance spilling over into the game, where they're still in that honeymoon phase. And you know what? I'm all about that. If you're lovey-dovey, great. Enjoy it while it lasts.
The other
aspect
is what? Two people who have no romance whatsoever attempting to roleplay one?
Bingo. But here's the thing, and I think this is where you really have to know the boundaries of the individuals involved, because I have seen more than once an RP'd romance lead to a real romance. I have seen at least once an RP romance lead to a broken relationship because A and B were dating in the game, B and C were flirting, and that flirting was a cover for real feelings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That could go horribly
wrong. That's why you started hitting on me in game,
Beth.
Oh,
man.
So, but here's my point.
let's not flatter yourself, okay, sweetie?
I think it is important that if that is going to be something occurring in the game, then look, for the sake of respect for your friends and their relationships, you have to understand what their boundaries are and respect it.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Pat's boundaries. I'll be observing them very carefully.
Oh, God. If I thought it would bother Pat and an iota, I never would have done
yeah.
it. I mean, if he even flickered an eye, done.
See, it makes him hot.
And that's the
thing. Yeah, it probably does. Pat is over there going like, do it.
He's terrible. He's shameless. He is shameless. Because at one point I even said, "What? Isn't this going to bother you? No. Why don't you learn to role play? Well, F you. Thanks a lot.
Because see, I know it would bother me. You know, if I was playing a game and you were macking on Carl, even if it was total role play, you know, I know just because of, this my issue, call it whatever you want.
No, that's perfectly understandable.
And
it is a touchy area for most people.
Right, precisely. And so I think one of the things that you have to do is to understand where the boundaries are and be sure to respect those, such that the romance in the game, I mean, if you have three males, three females, and they're all in relationships, and the person they're RP whatevering with is not the same person in the relationship with, be sure that these are mature individuals who really can draw appropriate moral boundaries, because it can go bad. And
yes, it can.
And I've seen it go bad when nobody thought it was going
There's
bad.
There's enough stress in relationships in real world. Why bring them into games?
Yeah, because it's funny. Well, and a certain degree of personality.
An escape.
Well, and if I thought for 1 minute, I mean, that there was any degree of discomfort, I'm not sure Beth would be able to shut it down, because I'd have shut it down before then for that exact reason.
I don't know. We would have beat each other to the buzzer. There's no way.
Yeah, the real...
It's not worth putting my husband through discomfort or
precisely.
Any sort of
anything. Precisely. There is nothing in that game worth any game, outside of maybe Old Republic, worth upsetting a marriage over.
My first in-game romance was also in a Battletech game, and it was ordered by Chad to Dawn. He was like, John, your Intersphere character got killed. You are now a clan bondsman. You have no idea what monogamy is or what sexual fidelity is. Go. Hit on my wife right now. And Dawn was like, get out of here, clanner. You're scum. You came from a test tube. You're an abomination. And I was like, oh, she doesn't like me. What's going on here? For those of you who don't know, in Battletech, the clans are a free love society. They don't have birth, usually. They're born in pods.
Christmas, John.
Here it is.
I think we're hitting up against time.
The ugly bard.
Or thereabouts. So let's get this final roll.
I've been
in.
Saving my three for the only important stat. Well, actually, they all are. Nine.
A nine. So a minus one to your charisma.
Well, you know, for method one, I'm a beast.
That's not altogether awful.
No, I gotta say, everything you've got here...
Especially since I'm gonna play a human or a half-orc or something and, like, put that 2 in charisma and make it 11, I'm A-okay.
Wait, a human? Where are you getting the plus 2 for being a human?
We're playing Pathfinder, aren't we?
Oh, Pathfinder, okay. Yep. I was thinking D&D 3.5. I'm like, where are you coming up with this plus 2 from?
In Pathfinder, gotcha. Humans and half-orcs have no adjustments, but they get to choose one plus 2 they can put anywhere.
If I'm running this game, I will need some guidance, because I know 3.5 pretty well. I do not know Pathfinder.
Okay, so I'll show you the
difference. I would totally admit my ignorance there in front of all 7 billion people that listen to the show.
Yes, in front of the entire 3-5 world, okay, which has moved on to Pathfinder years ago.
I think I just ended my marriage on the show, so it's only fair.
We'll find out next week. We'll get Wayne's response to the Bard thing, and we'll get...
Wayne's responded to my allegations 9 million times.
Yeah, weighed and found wanting. Let's see.
You know, he could roll a Method 1 Bard to go with me.
No, he is not. He's not rolling.
It'd be fun to balance those encounters. Guys, you're level 12. You find one goblin.
One goblin.
I sing at it. Give me the bonus. No, give me the bonus. I don't want to fight. I cast a cantrip. I cast Mordenkainen's Magnificent Minstrel.
Hang on to this, and of course, it's forever. These stats are recorded now in this episode for posterity for whenever we do get around to this campaign. But in the meantime, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up here. So, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Check the show notes, blah, blah, blah. You know the spiel, unless this is your first time with us. If it is, hey, welcome to the show. And have a great week, and we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
Later, days.
What?
I don't know, I'm just bristling.
Okay.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2011. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.